let's move to time certain 1208 and 1209.
1208, approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize procurement using the alternative contracting method of construction management general contractor and authorize payment for construction related to the Portland Open Space Sequence Restoration Project. And 1209. Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct park improvements in the Portland Open Space Sequence Local Improvement District in partnership with the Halperin Landscape Conservancy.
Okay, so this is the long-awaited launch of this joint venture between the city and a bunch of property owners to improve some great community assets. We have a formidable team here to walk us through these two ordinances, so I'm not sure who's on first, but take it away, whoever is.
Okay, good morning, Mayor Hales and members of council. My name is Lauren McGuire. I'm the Parks Program Development Program Manager, and with me is Sandra Bertzos, the Capital Project Manager 3, Larry Palat, Purchasing Manager, and then Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. We're here today to request council authorization pertaining to the restoration of the Portland Open Space Sequence. That's an ordinance to approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize the alternative contracting method for construction manager general contractor, CMGC, and to authorize payment for construction of the Portland Space Open Space Sequence Restoration Project. We're also here for council to declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings. So a little bit of history about the Portland Open Space Sequence. 50 years ago, the Portland Development Commission redeveloped a 55-block area of the city as the first large urban renewal district. In what would become a tradition of making public space a part of Portland's urban fabric, the PDC set aside three full blocks of parks and the adjoining streets for parks and garden-lined pedestrian walks. To design the parks and walks, PDC hired one of the most visionary landscape architects of the time, Lawrence Halperin and Associates. From right to left on your screen, we have the Source Fountain, Lovejoy Fountain, Pettigrove Park, Ira Keller Forecourt Fountain, and the adjacent pedestrian malls shown in light green. Collectively called the Portland Open Space Sequence, they changed the history of American urban design, actually, pioneering a path from passive parks to more participatory, dynamic parks. The historic street grid was retained as a framework for the South Auditorium Redevelopment District, and Halperin redesigned the first two spaces, Lovejoy Fountain and Pettigrove Park, shown on the screen here, and then integrated a tree-lined gridded pedestrian promenade between them. Halperin and Associates designed the sequence between 1962 and 1970, and the idea was to echo the mountain landscape, in particular the dramatic rushing alpine landscape of Lovejoy Fountain, which you can see in the upper part of your screen, and the quieter, more contemplative rolling hills of Pettigrove Park. Halperin also pushed to design the third fountain, which is the Source Fountain, and in 1966 did that and was later commissioned to design the Ira Keller Forecourt Fountain, also shown on your screen on the left. He described the entire four sequence, four plaza and fountain sequence, as a watershed metaphor for the High Sierra landscapes. So they can be seen as precedents for subsequent Halperin sequences throughout the country in other cities such as Washington, D.C. As the first new downtown public spaces in Portland in decades, they've inspired many generations of parks in Portland, such as Tom McCall Waterfront Park, Pioneer Courthouse Square, Jameson Square, Director Park, and others. The Conservancy successfully nominated the Portland Open Space Sequence to the National Register of Historic Places, and in 2013, the sequence was designated on the National Historic Registry District. The Conservancy is now pushing for the National Historic Landmark designation, which is a higher designation, and that will help it recognize its international significance and the architects associated. But now we have 50 years of aging that we're trying to address, a lack of maintenance funding, and we're here because that needs to be done. The Conservancy has been actively working over the last 15 years to increase awareness of the sequence as an important city and national cultural resource, and they've been working with area property owners now to participate in a local improvement district to help restore the crumbling sequence.
The Portland Open Space Sequence Restoration Project will make critical repairs to the four parks' infrastructure, restore key elements to the original design intent, enhance nighttime security and safety, enhance site accessibility, install energy-efficient electrical systems, and improve site drainage and plumbing. Restoration of the sequence is funded by a voluntary local improvement district and the City of Portland General Fund. The current low-confidence estimate for construction costs is approximately $2.4 million. The overall project budget, including project construction, design services, insurance, bonding, project management and staff costs, contingencies, and escalation comes to $3.85 million. The two council actions that we're here for today for this project that we'll be discussing are, first, an ordinance to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize procurement using the alternative contracting method of construction manager general contractor and authorize payment for construction related to the project. And second, a resolution to declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct park improvements in the Portland Open Space Sequence Local Improvement District in partnership with the Halpern Landscape Conservancy.
Okay, good morning. I'm Larry Palat from Procurement Services. Portland Parks and Recreation, in conjunction with Procurement Services, is requesting an exemption from the low bid competitive process used in most standard construction projects. The ordinance requests an approval to use the Construction Manager General Contractor, or abbreviated CMGC, method of competitive bidding. This is still a competitive process which engages the constructing contractor significantly earlier in the overall project while design documents are still being developed. The process allows the constructing contractor to have usable input into the document development and bring to light potential problems and solutions earlier in the process in order to design them out of the project. The exemption being requested allows the city to engage in a competitive bidding process authorized under ORS 279C3352 and Portland City Code 5.34 and pursue a CMGC competitive bidding process. The council, through its Parks and Recreation Bureau, is required to make certain findings in support of this competitive process. These findings are listed in the body of the ordinance and actually on the slideshow, too. The Bureau, in conjunction with Procurement Services and the City Attorney's Office, has determined that the requirements of the findings have been met and the project is available to be approved for the CMGC process. The CMGC process generally allows the City to increase participation of DMWESB certified contractors and subcontractors as the City is negotiating the guaranteed maximum price, or GMP, and other attributes of the resulting contract as the project is being developed. If you have any questions about that CMGC process, I'll do my best to answer them.
Well, I think it might be good to, I mean, you've done it here, but maybe go up to a little higher altitude, and that is, why do we do this? Why do we go to the CMGC process on some projects versus the traditional competitive bidding? What's the justification for that, going down that path, and why do you think it applies here?
The standard typical low bid is design, bid, build. Basically, you design your project, you bid it, then you build it. And anything that's in the middle, problems, issues come up, developed by, handled by change order. In a CMGC process, what we're trying to do is to bring the constructing contractor into the actual process significantly earlier. We try to get the GC into the process at about 30% completion of the documents, so you've got a great deal more time and effort. The general contractor is actually there participating in the development. He's working with the architects. If they're coming up with a thought process that may be particularly difficult in a location, things can be made brought to light ahead of time. You can work with that system. We generally look at these for projects of significant, either it's kind of one of two things, either looking at them for significant dollar value or where we really believe that getting that constructing contractor involved much earlier will benefit the project significantly.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question on that. Given that this is a historic sequence
And given the specialty nature of this, is it likely that the contractor will have a specialty focus on this kind of work, or is any contractor technically considered for this kind of work?
That's an excellent question. And part of the process in the CMGC is we use what's called an RFP process, a request for proposals, rather than just getting a low bid that says, okay, I'll build it for $6.19. It's designed around give them the project, they have specs, they're part of they're going to be part of the whole design process. So we use a process where they see where we're at, they bring to us proposals. It's still a competitive process. So we're getting people involved, but part of what they present to us is their qualifications for actually doing the process. So we do tend to get much more specialized people.
Thank you. I know that on the two parks in East Portland, which I think both of you are very involved in the spec and in the choosing the contractor, there was a lot of emphasis on using local contractors and trying to increase above normal the number of minority businesses, women-owned businesses. Is that part of the specs for this one?
So, like, for example, for the bond project, Pioneer Courthouse Square, we also did a CMGC process. We did not have a community benefits plan per se, but we had the targets that we worked with procurement on, and we did many different outreach events, and we're ending up at about 39%, which is pretty high relative to our target of 20%, so we're pretty happy with that. So I think we can do that same kind of thing with this project as well.
I wanted to hear, thank you. And what I expected to hear, too. I know that we're all learning how to do this better, and in answer to your in comment to your question, Mayor, I think that more and more we need to be looking at this kind of approach, because it does save money and it, in the long run, and it makes a more qualitative bidding process or application process rather than just whoever can do it for the least money.
Yeah. And I think, and also I agree with those comments, but also it also helps to control cost, or at least in my experience involved in this, using this tool for the Portland streetcar, the original $55 million project. And frankly, the message to the team, the CMGC team, was very clear, not just from me, but from Don Magnuson, who was this wonderful first chairman of Portland Streetcar Inc., who pound on the table. You got $55 million, that's it. You're never going to get another dime. Don't ask the city for any more. Don't ask the property owners for any more. Same kind of situation where we were forming an LID. So some of our money, some of private property's money. And so it does help clarify everybody's understanding that that's the deal. If you have to change some specifications to stay within the budget, do that. So I think it equips you as managers with whoever you select as the CMGC contractor to pound on the table as needed. Other questions? Andrew.
Thank you. Andrew Abbey. I am the city's local improvement district administrator. Just to briefly walk you through the LID component of this. Halpern Landscape Conservancy and the city have been in discussions about a local improvement district as a possible partial funding mechanism for the restoration of the sequence since August of 2012, so it's been about a four-year discussion. There has been an extensive public outreach effort with the Halpern Landscape Conservancy since December 2012. The Conservancy has also had extensive outreach with property owners who, to date, have tendered their petition support to date individually and of their own accord, having determined on their own the amount of their LID contributions. I really want to emphasize that. So this is not a traditional LID based on front footage or square footage of property or anything of that nature. We just said, here's how many equal shares and $100 lots that we need to raise, and we went to the property owners and we asked them to tell us how much they would like to contribute to the LID. So valid petitions from owners of property within the proposed LID were filed with me, and I've reviewed the petition and determined them to be valid. They were filed as Exhibit A to the resolution before you today. This is a historic LID in the sense that Portland Parks and Recreation is the responsible bureau for the proposed improvement. So what that means is Parks Bureau is identified as the capital project owner for this LID, which would be the first one in the history of the city of Portland if you give final approval to the LID next month. So There is a recommendation in the resolution to move forward with LID formation proceedings. The advantage of the LID leveraging the conservancy funds includes provides a funding mechanism for property owners to join together to invest in the restoration of the sequence. And as I mentioned, it's the voluntary equal shares apportionment methodology. And then the contribution can be financed for up to 20 years following final assessment. It should be noted we have some very generous contribution amounts here. Moving on to the next slide, here's a map of the LID. I do want to emphasize that the Conservancy has continued discussions with other property owners, and any property owner within the boundaries of this LID map could join the LID at a later date. And I'll talk more about that on the next slide. So as shown in Exhibit B, we do have $1,268,800 in petition support received to date so far. We have written commitments of another $275,200 in pending petition support. So just to briefly clarify the mechanics of this, if council approves this resolution today, the auditor will provide notice to property owners in the amount of $1,544,000. That is $606,000 short of the $2,150,000 that we're aiming for on the LID. The auditor can only notify the properties which are identified in this exhibit. What we would be coming back with on December 7th is an amendment to add additional properties into the LID, and in some cases, depending on what people voluntarily want to do, would increase the amount of the LID contributions. So we have three or four properties in the mix. We'd be bringing those to council on December 7th with an amendment.
Andrew, you said that it's, I guess, unprecedented for the city to be in the position it is in this LID. So if we're making history, can you just flesh that out a little bit as to why it may be it's on the one hand unprecedented, but it is not something that gives you any heartburn?
Yes, be pleased to do that. So the vast majority of LIDs that we do are street LIDs that are administered by the Bureau of Transportation. We've done a few water main LIDs over the years for which the Water Bureau has been the responsible bureau. We've done a couple of sanitary sewer LIDs for which BES is the responsible bureau. Park improvements, by their general nature, offer a pretty systemic and community-wide benefit. So when we look at park improvements, those are improvements that are typically built by the community at large. When I was first approached with the idea of partially funding this through the LID, the mechanism, the parameters that I laid out were that we haven't done this before, but I'm certainly willing to, you know, have an open mind, take a fresh look at this. And that resulted in us discussing this both with procurement services in terms of the procurement aspects of this, which is well beyond my area of expertise. But the other piece of this was just making sure that what we were funding through the LID met the state requirement of it being a capital improvement. So without getting too deep into the weeds of this, we wanted to make sure that we weren't just funding maintenance, that we were truly funding a capital improvement that met the definition under state law. And then most importantly, that we were really looking to the property owners to come to us and willingly be part of funding this capital improvement. I did not want to be in the position of trying to determine what everybody's individual amounts are and then having to make the case for it. It just made much more sense to me that we had a group of willing property owners that were willing to step forward to have them tell us how much they wanted to contribute. And this is phenomenal financial leverage. I mean, we've got the $1.5 million in general fund. I am not a parkie, although I hope to be an honorary parkie when this is all done.
You're already an honorary pilot, so that's the next logical step.
But, you know, my sense of the situation is that we have a severely depreciated series of assets here that at some point the Parks Bureau would have to fund some sort of upkeep and replacement. So I was just happy to join in the effort to try to cobble together these different funding sources, so we weren't relying on any one funding source, that we could put together multiple funding sources and really have significant financial leverage.
So, Andrew, not for today, but perhaps at some future date, I'd like to better understand the lessons of this creative use of an LID in terms of its application for other sure. challenges we have. The challenge of keeping pace with capital spending is not unique to parks or to transportation or to our utilities or any bureau. And this seems like a very innovative solution to a problem that's eluded us for a while. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So I certainly appreciate the Conservancy for their ongoing work on this project, as well as looking after the sequence. I'm concerned about the $606,000. It's my understanding that the $1.5 million that the Council allocated in the for budget adjustments is dependent on the whole project getting done. So where's the $606,000 going to come from?
I think I could probably have the Conservancy better address that. I guess the one clarification I would like to make to Council today is that if you approve this resolution, you're not actually forming the LID. So there is no commitment to actually build this until Council approves the subsequent LID formation ordinance. So this is a very necessary first step, and I would just also add that I think the Council knows we're in a pretty hot real estate market here. The velocity of real estate is pretty high with properties turning over. So speaking strictly as LID administrator, I have a certain sense of urgency of getting these pending lien records created and kind of going on to the next step and kind of dialing in what we've gotten to date. It's just a challenge, again, with property ownership turnover, and I think that kind of factors into the $606,000. So.
And just piggybacking on what the mayor mentioned about the streetcar, it was quite a stretch for us to get to $1.5 million of general fund to allocate to this LID, and there isn't any more from the city. So I just want to be very clear that we're very appreciative of the partnership, and I know that you'll work to make the whole thing happen, as will our community partners. Thank you.
Anything else, Andrew? Any other questions for our team?
Done.
Thank you all very much. Let's turn to, I think they're probably representatives of the property owners here and any other public testimony. So,
I show six people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Don Stansky, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and Karen Whitman.
Come on up. Good morning and welcome. I think you're on first, Don.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Don Stastny, 2309 Southwest 1st Avenue. I am a director of the Halperin Landscape Conservancy. I'm an architect and urban designer that has been involved in the rebirth of Portland over the last 40 years as a professional within the city. The Halperin sequence was actually established just before I came back to town. I'm the fourth generation. I'm a fourth generation Oregonian coming back to Portland to work. I am standing in for Randy Gregg, who is our president, who could not be in attendance today. But I'm also supported by a number of fellow directors who are in the audience. Could you guys all stand, please? And
good morning. Welcome.
You can see.
A round of applause, Mayor.
Yeah, let's hear it for them. I've labored long to get to this day, so thank you.
I think the staff report to you all was really excellent and covered an awful lot of bases, I think, that I may have covered. Since this was first, this concept of the voluntary LID was introduced by Commissioner Fish about 3 years ago, we realized that this is really a pioneering effort in a lot of ways. And in the same way that we originated public-private partnerships as a way to originally build the Auditorium Renewal District, which has now been kind of our mode of operation as we've rebuilt Portland, I think this is another innovative step towards moving in that direction. And I especially applaud Commissioner Fish's question about let's find out how this works and how it can be applied to other kinds of projects as we go forward with the city. We have been continuing to develop the gaining support for our overall concept, and Commissioner Fritz, we appreciate very much the grant of the $200,000, which allowed us to go a little bit further into looking at the underground as well as what was on the surface that we saw. So we now have a very good picture, I think, of not only the infrastructure of the place, not only the aesthetics of the place, but the infrastructure of the place that is a part of it. And I want to thank the council as a whole for the inclusion of the $1.5 million within the general fund, from the general fund, as far as moving this project forward. In the end, what we will have is an improved open space sequence, but this surely isn't the end of our efforts. We will get this particular part of the project done, but we will continue to improve the area, both as an open space sequence, but also a very important part of the city and a part of the armature. Last thing I might like to say is that as a part of the efforts of the business owners in this particular area led by John Russell, we've now developed an overall idea for this area to become the Fountain District, much like the Pearl, but giving it a brand so that any new development that occurs within the district will also recognize the idea of the fountains and the water and those kinds of things as an important part of the urban infrastructure. With that, I would like to introduce Bob Nato.
Oh, let's take these first three folks, then we'll bring Bob up. So go ahead, Karen.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. To the point, I hope that you have no problem approving this LID. We've done some other creative things with LIDs. I think among some people there are concerns that LIDs can lead to a form of gentrification where we only finance open space for and parks for wealthier neighborhoods. So we always need to be mindful that when we have constructive LIDs, that we see that as almost freeing up money to improve parks and recreation services in more distressed communities. We've talked about Hoppin Sequence a few times when I've been in, and yet I never knew that it connected south from Keller Fountain. When you go to Keller Fountain, I don't think there's currently any signage or exploration. I didn't know there was an architect named Lawrence Halperin. I didn't know I could walk blocks south. So I hope that simultaneously with the approval of this LID and moving forward with this project, that there might be some work between the Conservancy and Parks Department to already begin increasing public awareness. For those people who are viewing at home, HalperinConservancy.org. It's on the internet. Just search it around. I think I will let City Target's landlord, Bob Nato, come up and take my seat, and we'll move on with the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Good morning, Karen. You want to go next, or do you want
Bob? Yeah, good.
I'll call Mr. Nato.
Yeah.
Come on up,
Bob. Nato, who's the treasurer of the Halperin Landscape Conservancy.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, I always seem to get the less dramatic, emotional, whatever. I always get the money end of the testimony up here, and I want to address Commissioner Fritz's point about the $606,000 first. First of all, thank you for the comment that there's no more money coming from the city. It is important to where we are right now in terms of this capital campaign. And thank all of you for the commitment of the $1.5 million, because it says this is a city Halperin Landscape Conservancy property owner partnership, and you've definitely pulled your share of the load, and we all recognize that, and I think the property owners recognize that. We have $606,000 not signed up right now. Two properties represent $425,000 of that right now. Mayor Hales has been very, very helpful because he can open doors with institutional investors and corporate out-of-town owners that don't answer Randy Gregg's or my phone calls. They don't even answer Karen Whitman's phone calls.
Oh, wait a second.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, wait a second.
But they do return the mayor's calls, and he has been opening doors, and he has been very gently twisting arms, and one of those two property owners is one that he's talking to, and the other one is a property owner that both of these are typical of the you know, the easy ones were the local property owners, the usual suspects, who signed up right away because they understand the benefit. The hard thing is to talk to somebody in New York with Goldman Sachs or a pension fund in San Francisco that doesn't understand the need, doesn't see the return, probably has never even seen the property, and finally says, we have a fiduciary duty to our shareholders or the pension fund that we're representing, and so we can't do anything but maximize the return on the property. I don't know who made the comment about this being a hot market, but I will give you one example. We sold the contribution to the LID 3 years ago to a property owner, owns an apartment project next door to our property. We resold it 2 years ago after that property sold, and we just sold it for the third time, thanks to Karen Whitman, about 2 weeks ago. So what we need is we need this deadline. We need to be close to the end. We need to go to these three or four properties. The other property that we're dealing with right now is, and I don't want to disclose them, obviously, but it's under contract. So we have a seller who's in and a buyer who's out. And now they're pointing fingers at each other going, you didn't tell me about this before we did our due diligence. And so we're going back and forth. I think we will get them. We will get some others. We have a property that's going to be worth around, you know, in the 50s, 60, 70 million dollars when it's built, but it's not even built yet. So we're talking to an owner that is going to make an investment on a property that they haven't even rented the first apartment to. So these are the last ones are always the hardest ones, and I think having the deadline and being able to say, we have all the other contributions we're going to get, and you are our guy and gal, and we need you to sign up, is what will get us over the top.
That's great.
So I would like to say one other thing.
Please, go ahead.
If you can.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Well, I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz and the Park Bureau staff, Mike Abate, and especially Sandra Bertos, who has worked with us for four hard years down in the weeds, figuring out the real details of this. Andrew Abbey, who has helped us incalculably as we've sort of pioneered something that nobody's ever done before. I'd like to thank Commissioner Fish, who first put the idea of a voluntary LID in our head, and also for coming up with the name Fountain District, which I think 4 or 5 years ago you coined, and now John Russell and the neighborhood has fully adopted. So we thank you for the name, and we thank you for the idea. I want to thank the mayor. I've been on two other campaigns like this in my career. The first was with Mayor Katz on the classical Chinese garden, and she championed that and really kind of took it on after my dad passed away, and we got that one built. And then the other one was with Commissioner Cafori, who desperately wanted to see her last term to get the Simon Benson House moved, and we did that by hook and by crook. And by God, Mayor, we are going to get this one done.
We are here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your leadership. Karen, welcome.
That was good. You got the emotion in there.
He's not just the money guy. You know?
No. I'm Karen Whitman. I'm the executive director of Halpern Landscape Conservancy, 608 Southwest Arboretum Circle in Portland. I am here to read a letter from Randy Gregg, so I do get a little bit of the drama, and it, along with Anna Halperin's letter, is in your packet. To the members of Portland City Council, thank you so much for your continued support
of our efforts to restore the Portland Open Space Sequence. I apologize for not being able to attend. At a recent national convening of the American Association of Landscape Architects, I offered to the 200-plus architects and advocates an overview of the public-private partnership that is enabling our $3.85 million project. Not only is this a locally precedent-setting effort, but it has national interest, in particular for modern-era landscape. We have earned a profile of the project on the Cultural Landscape Foundation website launched this week in conjunction with the opening of the major exhibit of Lawrence Halprin for his centenary year at the National Building Museum in Washington, D.C. The Portland fountains are prominently and beautifully represented. We are already receiving inquiries by other groups working to restore modern era landscapes. But for many of us, this effort is personal. At the conference, I shared the stage with Lori Olin, one of the most prominent landscape architects of his generation, who eloquently spoke of how our fountains influenced his move from designing buildings to making urban landscapes. Before our presentation, we spoke with Portland Parks and Recreation Director Mike Abate, who shared how the plazas simply inspired his own move to landscape design and a move to Portland. Our fountains have drawn many of our most talented landscape architects to move here, and for Native sons such as Doug Macy, co-designer of Pioneer Courthouse Square, it empowered them to boldly set precedents of their own. The reason we take these fountain plazas personally is because Lawrence Halprin did. He carefully filmed, drew, and studied rock formations and waterfalls to craft abstractions of their fundamental nature for the city. Inspired by his wife, legendary choreographer Anna Halprin, he shaped them into performance spaces that lured people to play. In the months after Larry died in 2009, Anna, still going strong in her mid-90s, came to Portland and to make a dance in his memory in Lovejoy Plaza. As gentle rain fell, the dancers waded into the waters and the audience joined them in an enchanting living memorial. She was moved to write a letter of support of our efforts, and this is her quote. As I reflect about this spontaneous event, I think we are not asking to save the fountains from neglect. We are asking to save a place, to find joy and inspiration as a community, perhaps even a spiritual connection, to peace with the natural world and to each other. Thank you for your support. And I want to add, on a personal note, I am a big believer that we have a model in the making, a historic model, thanks to Commissioner Fish's point. I want to thank my board, who are very hardworking board, our LID partners, and so many others who stepped forward because they really believe in this. And I also want to thank Bob, to thank Mayor Hales, who contacted us, asked us how he could help, and he's made a big difference. We're so close. With your help, we're going to get this done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The last two I show signed up are Crystal Ilinski and Carol, I believe it's Kiko.
Okay, come on up, please.
Mayor Hales, I just wanted to remind you we do have a substitute Exhibit B to swap out for
okay.
you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah.
I will be brief. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. Due to a potential conflict of interest with Commissioner Salzman, I would like him not to be part of the vote. Thank you very much.
Okay, we do have a substitute for... Replacement B, Exhibit B for item 1209.
Second.
So is there a second? There is. Let's take a vote, please, to accept the replacement Exhibit B.
What does it do?
Andrew, what does it do? It is an exhibit, so I don't know.
Commissioner Fritz, Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. So what the Exhibit B does is it lays out the properties that the Halperin Landscape Conservancy is approaching for to help fill the $606,000 gap. There's a bit of a shift in those properties. There isn't any change in reflecting the petition support tendered to date. It's just simply a more clear picture of where we're headed on filling the gap.
Thank you. It's a revised prospect list. Thank you. Okay. So then the first of these items is an emergency ordinance. Let's take a vote on that, please. And I'll make some comments on this one, and maybe others might want to as well. So,
do you want to do the roll on the exhibit first, the substitute exhibit? Or
sorry, I thought we had. Please go ahead.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, now the vote on 1208, please.
Novick?
This is a wonderful and inspiring partnership, and I'm just so impressed by all the work everybody has done on this and is committed to continuing to do. I wanted to respond to Mr. Johnson's concern that LIDs might be sort of a vehicle for gentrification of the park system. I actually think it's precisely the opposite. In New York, I think they've been very successful in getting the private sector to step up and help fund expansion and maintenance of the iconic features of their parks of New York. And that means that more of the city general fund money can go to support parks in areas of New York that are analogous to, for us, East Portland. So I think that partnerships like this are critical to the survival and expansion of the park system. And I hope that this will inspire people in other places, but will inspire similar efforts in the city in the future. So thank you so very much. Aye.
Fritz?
When Mayor Hales generously and kindly assigned me the Parks Bureau in 2013, I started the practice of trying to every day go into a Portland park, even if it's just one step or cutting across Director Park in order to get to a lunch at the Sentinel. And I stand there and I think, I own this. And I want everybody to think that they do own our parks. All the citizens and taxpayers of Portland own our parks, and this is actually a fantastic example of yes in my backyard. This is the people who perhaps benefit the most by having properties that are in greater value because of the Halperin sequence, saying yes, we're going to help take care of it. It's also an example of how once a parks commissioner, always a parks commissioner, because Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fish have certainly done a lot of work, particularly both in instigating the process and then in bringing it home with his personal intervention. We have invested parks major maintenance funding in this for the Halperin sequence in the recent past, and thanks to Director Abate and all of our team at Parks for also recognizing that this is an amazing sequence. I had lived in Portland for over 25 years before I set foot in this place. After being assigned to Parks, I went to a concert in Lovejoy Fountain. And then in the fall of 2014, I started taking much more seriously the diligence of getting 10,000 steps per day. So I would get off the bus at the Development Services building and discovered quite by accident on one day when the lights were not cooperating into how quickly I could get to City Hall that I could go down and cross on Aunt Harrison. And then there was this amazing sequence that I had never seen before. And I particularly remember one morning, I think it was right around Valentine's Day, no, can't have been, there was a heart in petals, which I'm going to charitably feel like the person who did it picked up the petals off the ground rather than ripping them off the rhododendrons. But it was a beautiful heart, and it made me almost cry, and I was looking at it, and one of our park's staff was just there at the curb, apparently intending to do maintenance and kind of looking bewildered. And so I took it as my executive duty to tell her, don't clean this up right now, it's lovely and we want to have more people see it. So I want everybody to feel that they own this park. Yes, it's downtown, but if you haven't been in it, make it a trip. If you have small children, take them on the bus and the max and take them downtown. That could be a wonderful experience to look at this jewel that's soon hopefully going to be a national, even more of a national historic treasure. Thank you to the property owners who have put this forward with this amazing partnership. And I do appreciate that you have also all been involved in other good works in partnership with our parks. But the fact of the matter is we couldn't do this with major maintenance money from the parks. It would take more than we have in that fund to do just this project. So we do need your help, and thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to all the park staff, too. Hi.
Mayor, point of order. Dan and I are former parks commissioners, and we ask that we suspend the rules so that you may have the privilege of speaking next.
Oh, well, that would be fine. Thank you. I'll take it. Because we are a group of parkies here, and I think Steve is eager to join that number someday, but not before Amanda's ready.
Thank you. I'm glad you added that.
You know, a couple of personal notes here that I want to add, but first just thinking about how Port One does things. This really is a model for the future, but it's also a model that we've proven. We've used these kinds of partnerships, whether it was the Portland Softball Association surcharging their members $15 a season for 10 years in order to accumulate $500,000 to partner with the Parks Bureau for building the Delta Park softball complex. That was a fun one because the leader of that effort stayed on the board for 15 years because he'd gotten a bylaws provision inserted that insisted that the money go to that purpose, and he wanted to stick around until it actually got done. And it did, to building the streetcar, to building airport light rail. Lots of times we have proven that we're a city where people will step up from the community and from the private sector, either with lots of small contributions like Pioneer Courthouse Square itself, or that softball field, or partnerships like the Rob Strasser Foundation that built the first turf field at Delta Park. You know, the list goes on, and it always... It requires personal leadership from people in the community. So to those on this board that have put that leadership in, thank you. It was Michael Powell on the streetcar. It was Bill Nadeau on the classical Chinese garden. There's somebody stepping up, and you are those people. And we must have that kind of help from the community in order to get these things done. So thank you. As a Portlander, thank you. Because there's never enough public money, and it's actually better that we do it this way. Yes, we all own this park, but there's something wonderful about people investing in their neighborhood and insisting that they have stewardship responsibility for their neighborhood. So I think that has great power for the maintenance of these places over time. Then the two personal notes. One, a small confession. My wife drags me to a lot of art things, and I am not a modernist when it comes to art. I'm kind of an antiquarian. When it comes to art and architecture, occasionally I will be wowed by a modern building. And there's some here in Portland that I'm impressed by. But I kind of like old ones like this. And the same thing goes for art. I'm more into representational art than abstract, and sometimes I simply look in puzzlement at what the artist was trying to accomplish when Nancy makes me go to one of those things. But another exception is Lawrence Halprin's work. Because I'm an avid outdoorsman. I moved to Oregon in part because of access to wilderness and spent so many happy times with my children teaching them how to backpack and getting to that first waterfall at Wakulla Falls that's only a mile and a quarter up the trail, or maybe later climbing Hamilton Mountain and standing under the spray of that waterfall. And Lawrence Halprin got it. There's something magical about the modern design of these fountains that absolutely captures the essence of a wilderness waterfall or a wilderness spring at the source fountain. So it's a masterpiece, in my opinion, as a very amateur art critic, a masterpiece of design and deserves to be properly cared for. And then finally, you know, when I moved to Portland in 1979 and started exploring the city, I discovered this sequence. And to me, this set of fountains is a big part of what makes Portland, Portland. So I'm so happy that this partnership has come together. We will get the job done and put it right. Thank you all very much. Aye. No, I can't gavel it yet. I'm used to winging that gavel right after I vote, but my colleagues get to vote first.
Amanda and Charlie have said everything that needs to be said today, so I'll just add five thank yous. To Lawrence Halprin for creating what the mayor, I think, aptly called a masterpiece, and for citing it here in Portland, and for it being in the same league as the Lansu Chinese Garden and the Japanese Garden and the other great civic treasures that we enjoy. To Randy Gregg, who in 2008 worked with PICA, TBA, and the Third Angle New Music Group and staged an event, which, Mayor, was the first time I learned about Halperin. And it was through that merging of art and dance and celebration that a relative newcomer to Portland learned about Lawrence Halperin and his story. So I thank Randy for doing that and literally writing the book. As a former Parks Commissioner, I want to thank the Conservancy, as the Mayor and the Commissioner in charge have both noted. We can't have a world-class park system without world-class partners, and everything that we do involves a public and a private partner. And this is a shining example of that. I want to thank the city team, and starting with the Parks family, and we have royalty here today. We have Charles Jordan's son. We have a former assistant director. We've got all kinds of people here, and including, Zeri, you're hiding back there, Zeri Santner. We have royalty here, and then we up to the present, where we have the folks that are doing the hard work in the Bureau today under Mike's inspired leadership. And four of us up here are either past or present, past or present Parks Commissioners, and it's a great honor that we've all had to be part of this family. And thank you. And Andrew Abbey, we just expect excellence from you every time you do an LID, and today is no different. And then finally, I just want to say something about closers. One of the features of our form of government that that you either like or don't like is that over time, lots of people get to have a hand in the sausage making. And you hope that as time goes by, there's some continuity, but there is no guarantee of continuity. So what we hope is that a council in one day embraces an idea and a future council nurtures it. But here's the bottom line. Nothing that we ever dream of comes to fruition without a closer. And today, on this side of the dais, those closers are named Charlie Hales and Amanda Fritz, working with Mike Abate and the bar. So I want to celebrate the fact that they brought us to this point, because today is a milestone for our city, working with all of our partners, and I'm deeply grateful to my colleagues. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Thank you all. It's done. See you in a month or a few weeks. Okay, let's move on to 1210.
Oh, excuse me.
We're going to go on to the second one. Sorry. Yeah, we've got to vote 1209. Sorry, I'm not doing a very good job of following the agenda this morning. We now have to vote on 1209.
Novick?
So I realize that in commenting on the glories of public-private partnerships, I neglected to comment on the glory that is the Halperin sequence. It is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to have in walking distance of City Hall. So as Amanda said, we can get our 10,000 steps by going to a beautiful space within walking distance of the city. I also just wanted to say, Commissioner Fritz, this is a big day for you, but Mayor, I know that this is very precious to you, and I'm also acutely aware that you're with us for another couple of months, and I'm going to miss you very much, only partly because you're the one person I can count on to laugh at my stupid jokes.
I won't do that.
And it's really wonderful to see you be able to enjoy this declaration of an intent to form a local improvement district. Aye.
Thank you.
Fritz.
I agree, Mayor. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very excited about this partnership to preserve and restore the Halperin Fountains. Thank Commissioner Fish for coining the phrase Fountain District and the idea of this voluntary LID formation. So I'm very excited about that, but I am also, I want to, for the sake of transparency, I will recuse myself from voting on this, as my family is one of the voluntary property owners that is paying into this LID. So I don't think I technically need to recuse myself, but I think for the sake of transparency, I will. And I would also note my sister serves on the board of the Portland Open Space Sequence, so I abstain.
Bales.
Appreciate your recusal. That might be a first and a historic one where someone has recused themselves because they're voluntarily giving the city money. Appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much.